Welcome to Against the Wind, Doctors in Science Under Fire. Dr. Paul here. I am combining my From the Heart with the intro to this show because this one is unique. We're featuring the United for Freedom rally that we held right here in Portland, Oregon. You may recall my last From the Heart. I had a little trepidation about going to downtown Portland, Oregon. We've had a time here in Portland, Oregon. It doesn't feel safe downtown sometimes, and there's been a lot of clashes down there, and we thought, boy, a Freedom rally is gonna bring out the troops as far as those antagonizing sides. Well, it was nothing like that. It was a true celebration of freedom. We had there at this event, Amy Bond, co-founder and president of PERC. This is an organization fighting for civil rights, parental rights, and for freedom. Our own Dr. Henry Ely. Man, Dr. Ely knows the fraud numbers. He does this research every day. He's encouraging us to stand up for truth, stand up for freedom. And he shared about the filing of a grand jury petition using the language of fraud, crime, and willful misconduct, speaking about the vaccine manufacturers who thought they were shielded, but they're not. If they're committing a crime, using fraud or willful misconduct. Jonathan Otto, investigative journalist, filmmaker, and humanitarian, reminds us that freedom and liberty of conscience has echoed through the ages, and we must choose what we put in our bodies at all costs. We hear from Maddie, actually Maddie's mom, Stephanie, about what Maddie experienced. She was in the Pfizer trial and has now become wheelchair bound, seizures, and a host of medical conditions, completely abandoned financially and medically by the system. Dell Bigtree closes out this show. My friend Dell is the host of The Highwire, CEO of the Informed Consent Action Network, and he points out the hypocrisy of living in fear, but injecting unknown toxins into our bodies. He points out loud and clear, fear is the disease, and he asks us to now rise up as leaders for freedom. Enjoy the show.
Mean some greener grass is lowing on an island in the sea. Fresh graffiti crop circles on the beach. A phoenix taking flight, shining brighter than the beast. Now draw the outline of peace and crumble sand castles as we channel in the streams. I've got a reason and a rhyme. I'm setting grievances aside and being
green. Listen, here's the thing. What we're all facing is global. It's actually not just in California, not just in Oregon, is it? It's across the whole entire world. So what I want to tell you about is, I want to tell you that PERC as an organization, we've decided that we're not going to take this lying down. We came out swinging with a lot of punches. We filed 6 lawsuits in California. And the best part about that, to protect children and to protect first responders, all these people that are impacted by the mandates, and I want to tell you something, we are winning! Do not ever think we aren't. I'm telling you, we are winning across the world. We're winning in California. You're winning here in Oregon. Don't listen to anything different than that. Now, one of the big things here on the horizon is this thing called a vaccine passport. You heard of that? Yeah? Yes, that's right. That's right. They're calling a lot of different things, aren't they? A green pass, a health pass, a digital pass. They're calling it a vaccine passport in some places. You guys here in Oregon, I just saw that you are expected to have some kind of vaccine passport be initiated in March. So just in just a month. And what we're seeing across in California too is they're trying to put it actually through the schools on the children as a health pass and a daily pass and a QR code. One of my expertise and my team, we really heavily researched the vaccine passport. So I wanna tell you a few things you may not have heard before that I think you need to know. First of all, the vaccine passport has been banned in 19 states across this country. That is tremendous to see that type of, that happening across the country. Now, has anybody heard of DARPA? Does anybody know what that is? Okay. Man, you guys are so smart. Stephanie, you didn't tell me they're gonna be, okay. You guys are amazing. So DARPA is an organization under the Department of Defense, and they actually have initiated funding for a group called PROFUSA. PROFUSA has created a biosensor that can be injected under your skin, and that biosensor can send signals to, guess what? Your smartphone. And it can read your body temperatures, your oxygen levels, all kinds of things. In addition to that, Microsoft has a patent. Do you know what they have a patent for? They have a patent for cryptocurrency that's connected to body activity. And that same cryptocurrency talks about body sensors and wearable sensors and wearable devices. Okay, in addition to that, have you guys heard of this thing called the Commons Project? Have you heard of that at all? Okay, at a global level, what happened when everything locked down is there is the Commons Project was put together by the World Economic Forum and the Rockefeller Foundation. But guess when they did that, you guys? They did it in 2019. And this Commons Project is something that's a whole global initiative where they have a Commons Pass that's part of the Commons Project. And in that Commons Pass, they have a partnership with Microsoft, who has created a smart card app. Okay, it's basically a smart health app. That is what your vaccine passport looks like across the world. And it's in 52 countries, everyone. 52 countries. They're working on a coalition across the world to get this initiated. So when you see and hear about vaccine passports, I want you to know what's happening at a global level so that you can make sure that you fight it here locally. It's in California. They are actually using the smart health app in California and making it so that you have to get a QR code and show proof of the COVID vaccine through this very app. So basically, it goes like this. You have the vaccine passport coming from the World Economic Forum, who created the global, this Commons Project and the Common Pass, all connected to Microsoft with wearable sensors, biosensors, all underneath your skin with PROFUSA, the Department of Defense, and that. Does it make anybody feel like, oh my gosh, how can we defeat this? Is anybody here feeling a little bit, like truly wondering, like, oh crap, how in the world can we fight something like this at a global level? Do you guys sometimes feel like tired? It's been 2 years. It was supposed to be 2 weeks, right, to slow the spread. But instead, here we are 2 years into this lockdown, and we're facing a global vaccine passport that they're trying to initiate a whole infrastructure for. New York, other countries, you know, Hawaii. And they're trying to make it so that you can't even cross the border into another country without this. If this whole thing does take hold, it will impact everything, won't it, you guys? It'll impact your finances, your schools, your right to travel, your right to work, everything. So I want to tell you something. This is one of those things that you all, with all of us, we have to give it everything we've got to stop this. We cannot let this take hold in our country. And I call on every single one of you. I don't care if you're a liberal, if you're a Democrat, if you're Republican, whatever you want to identify with, because that stuff doesn't matter right now. Those are the things that divide us. So what matters right now is that you all are unified in a way that maybe we haven't been before, and we take on together in unity something that is going to take all of us to fight in order to protect our children, in order to protect our homes, our schools, our work, our jobs, our life, our freedoms. We have to lay everything on the line right now and give this everything we've got. Did anybody bring wine? Because it's like kind of heavy right now. Maybe a little bit of chocolate. I had some chocolate. I actually was speaking one time, and I said that, and they were like, and they literally brought me chocolate to the thing. So it's okay. You don't have to really give me chocolate. Maybe the wine, though. So, but I do want to tell you something, too. This is what was on my heart related to you guys. Yes, this vaccine passport, they're trying to put it in 52 countries. But do you want to know what's greater than that? Greater than 52 countries? What's greater than that is there is a global movement happening in every part of this world, every continent except for Antarctica because that's too cold. And here's the thing, Australia, Austria, France, Israel, Oregon, California, New York, have you guys seen the protests happening? Yeah. It's not just a few people, is it? That's why they won't cover it on the news. You can only see it on the high wire. The issue is that you have millions of people, everyone, that you are united with across the whole entire world. So if you ever feel alone and wonder if you can do this, know that you are not alone. You are a part of a global movement that is not going to stop. I've seen this movement years ago where it was a few thousand, tens of thousands, and now it's millions, my friends. And that is something that we can take hold of and be anchored in. We are not alone. The other thing is, you all here have the heart of a warrior. I have a heart of a warrior. My husband, the people out here with you, leading, fighting, we have the hearts of a warrior. We are not afraid. I'm not afraid. There are so many times where we're like, dude, don't you need a bodyguard? I got my husband. He's amazing. But I'm not afraid because I'm gonna tell you this, and I mean this with all of my heart. We are being divinely led. We have the divine in us and with us in everything that we're doing. Inspiration, stamina, strength, lawsuits, you name it. And there is something moving in us to help us defeat this, to help us fight this, to give us energy and strength beyond our own. Do you know how I know this? Have you seen who is a part of this movement with us now? It's the firefighters and the nurses and the doctors and the parents and the military and even some of the politicians. Don't boo. We have people everywhere in every industry that has joined us in this movement. That is what you call the divine. That is a movement that has an energy beyond just you or just me. It is something greater than all of us. And that is why I can tell you with confidence that we are going to defeat those vaccine passports. We are going to take back our country. We are going to fight with everything we've got because that's what it's going to take. And not a single one of us are willing to pass this on to our children. My great aunt was in Budapest, Hungary during the time of World War II. My family comes from Europe during that time. And do you want to know what she did? While people were hiding in a cave, there were families who were Jewish who were hiding in a cave to be protected. She was begging on the streets, dressed up like a beggar, a boy, and she did that in order to get extra food for them. She would then take it back to the cave and she would cook for them and she would give it to them. That is an example of the type of courage that you and me and all of us need to have, that we are not filled with fear, but we're filled with faith. We're filled with hope and we're willing to do whatever it is, even if it looks hard or even if we're not sure how it's gonna turn out, we're willing to be that brave and that courageous. This is exactly the time in history that you are all meant to be here because you're here. You are meant to be here. So even if you think we're against the odds, I'm telling you that we're not. We are meant to be here, meant to fight, meant to take the leadership stage here, meant to do everything we can. I have to tell you, one of my favorite, absolutely favorite people in history right now is Winston Churchill. Do you like, yes, I know, right? There's like one person that clapped. It's okay. Sorry, Winston, wherever you're at, we still appreciate you. But the last thing I want to share with you is something that has resonated with me to my core. It's something that he said during his darkest times when he was faced with war all around him. He said this, and I'm going to change it just a little bit for us. He said, "We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in California. We shall fight in Oregon. We shall fight in Israel. We shall fight in France and in Canada. We shall fight in Australia. We shall fight on the seas and the oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our land, our children, our lives. whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the cold. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never, ever surrender. Thank you so much, and God bless you all.
Partition our ways that aren't measured. To harvest every last piece of it, even if you feel there isn't meaning in the reasoning. And even if you lack the seasoning, you gotta find the flavor in the natural to be this thing. It's as real as it seems.
How do you agree that we should live in a society that discriminates? How many of you believe we should live in a society that segregates?
No!
How many of you believe we should live free like we were born?
Yeah!
Looks like I came to the right place, eh? I'm going to be talking with you a lot later in the show today. We're going to give you a chance to participate. That's very important to me. We've got these people who've been elected thinking that we elected them to be our parents. It's a little odd, isn't it? We've got these people out there that think we elected them to be dictators. So what do we say to people who think like that? Let's do it together. One, two, three, no! Just like we gotta train a puppy sometimes or something, right? Bad dog. Don't do that. Bad dog. Well, if you followed any of my work, you know I'm heavy into the numbers. Did you know that you could be fully vaccinated and still counted as unvaccinated? Isn't that ridiculous? It's so ridiculous we have a name for that. It's called fraud. And just like Amy was saying, it's time for us to start calling things what they are. That takes courage. That takes courage each of you possess. How many of you here today have the courage to speak truth? How many of you have the courage to take no offense when people say stupid things to you? Good. Now, here's the challenge. How many of you have courage? That's right, convoy! Can we give it up for the convoy? How many of you have courage to remain humble? You see, my message is a little different. There are no victory laps here. But there is a glorious fight in front of us. How many of you are ready to fight? Because I'm going to fight with you every single day. Will you fight with me? And we got some good news coming later today. Something happened yesterday that was incredible. We actually filed a grand jury petition in that federal court building right over yonder. And we called it what it was. Fraud. We called it what it was. Crime. And we called it what it was. Willful misconduct. Now, why is that phrase, willful misconduct, so important? Because how many of you know that these fraud stirs at Pfizer and Moderna and all those places, they hide behind the protections of civil immunity. How many of you know that you can't sue them?
Yes.
Does that seem right or wrong?
Wrong.
You can't sue them unless you can prove willful misconduct.
Yes.
And we're going to prove it. Can I get an amen? I love you all. Do you know that? Can you feel it? I'm not the only one that loves you. There's people out under this tent that have love in their hearts. Love for freedom, but more importantly, love for you, love for each other. How do you defeat evil? How do you defeat evil? Love. And what does love do that defeats evil? It never gives up. Do you understand that? Say it with me. Never give up. The only way that evil wins is when we surrender hope, when we surrender our passion to it, when we give up. Will you promise me today that no matter what, you will never give up? Yes, just like Winston Churchill said, I will fight you anywhere. I'll fight you over here. I'll fight you over there. I'll fight you on a plane. I'll fight you on a train. We can turn it into Dr. Seuss, too, and have a little fun with this, Kevin. Amen.
Karma is as real as it seems. You can reinvent the wheel if you believe. So be yourself with authenticity.
I know that many of you have suffered greatly for your stands, and I want to thank you for that. And I'm sorry for the things that many of us have had to face, the kind of marginalization and persecution, even from our own friends and family. There's a lot of trauma here, and so the ability just to stand in a place of love and say, I love you, I'm with you, and I'm suffering with you, I'm crying with you, I'm laughing with you, I feel what you feel, is one of the most powerful things. So I just encourage each one of you to take in the moment, and really take in each other and hold each other, look at each other and see each other's hearts and experiences, and know that you are the heroes. You are the heroes. It's not a hero doctor that has some great wisdom to share with the world. It's you.
Yes.
Without you, this is nothing. And I think about the stand of people in my life. My mother grew up in Malaysia. How many people know this story? She grew up in a Muslim culture that was legislated by government that you could not in any way change any aspect of your faith. And so after her coming to Australia, seeing certain values inside of Christianity that she thought was important to her, that then caused her arrest and to have to stand before a judge and face a possible death sentence simply for her belief. This is 35 years ago. And so this issue of freedom and liberty of conscience that we are fighting for is something that has echoed through the ages. And without us having the ability to choose the beliefs that we have, the things that we choose to put in our bodies, we have nothing. And that is why brave people from history past, you look at the Protestant Reformation, you see what was fought in the 1500s with Martin Luther, the Catholic monk, that stood before the Diet of Worms in Germany and said, I cannot go against my conscience. For a Christian, it is unsafe. Here I stand, I can do no other, so help me God. Is that your prayer? Is that your statement?
So help me God.
Yeah. And you are standing with on the backs of giants that have stood and were victorious. And it was because of their stand we have lived a lot of our lives in a state of freedom that we haven't enjoyed and appreciated. But it has crept up on us, and many of us had lost sight. And this was a reminder to us of digging deep inside of the values that are the things that we need to move forward and step into a greater reality that requires us all changing, transforming, going deeper, learning to love, connecting more deeply with one another, and looking at what was left behind. We're going to bring up some amazing people here, and Dr. Ely myself, I'm a filmmaker, I've been sharing, and our films have been reaching millions of people around the world. I feel like that's just my area where I could do my part. In Australia, I was awarded Young Citizen of the Year and International Ambassador of the Year for humanitarian work that I've done throughout my life. And thank you. Thank you for responding to crisis and seeing starvation, the Horn of Africa having famine in the early 2017, and the response that me and others made in those areas. This was something that I felt called to. And as these issues have come about, I've seen that this is a humanitarian issue, and this is why you see firefighters being the ones that stand forward. You see people that are frontline people. You see doctors that have committed themselves, like people like Dr. Ely, from the age of a child, they decide that they want to help people, and then they can't give up that, they can't give up that calling, and so they hold to it. And it's because of these great people we see so much great things in this world that are worth standing for and continuing to fight for.
I am a 37-year-old mom. I have a little beautiful little boy, Max, here with me. And I was injured by the Moderna COVID vaccine on March 11th. I've almost reached 1 year. My injury consists of severe autonomic dysfunction, POTS. When I stand up, I pass out. The list goes on and on and on. I have severe neurological problems in my legs that makes it feel like I'm being electrocuted 24/7. Many days I can't stand. Today, the sun is out, it's beautiful, and I can use my legs today. So I'm really excited about that. Just to give you a glance into life of an injured person, this is what it takes to keep me alive every day. I started with two medications before this, just regular medication supplements, and this is what it takes today. We are the dirty little secret the government doesn't want you to know about, and I'm here today to tell you that we're real. This is happening every single day in an alarming rate. My son, he's 9 years old. He's been traumatized by seeing his mom go through something like this, watching me get carted away, not knowing if I'm going to come back, going to the hospital. He can't visit me because of COVID precautions, not knowing when I'm going to return home and if I'm going to return to the normal mom I was before. You know, the insurance companies, they see people like us and they just close their eyes and stick their fingers in their ears. They don't want to hear anything about us. But the truth is they are... they're making choices for us that are completely unresponsible. I completely rely on a wheelchair when I'm at home, and I requested through my insurance to get an electric scooter to help me go grocery shopping and to get through my life and get on. And they decided for me in a peer review that because my arms work, that I don't require an electric wheelchair, because my arms still work. You try having a child and doing grocery shopping and getting in and out of the car when your legs don't work, and someone else decided that for me. So those are some of my struggles, and I want Steph to share some of them about Maddie, because this little girl has become my guiding light, and I will do anything to help save her and others.
So I'm going to look at my phone so I stay on track, because I have a really hard time doing this. I'm not a speaker. I absolutely hate speaking in front of people, so that tells you how passionate I am about this. Anyway, so I'm Stephanie, and this is my daughter Maddie, and she's going to get mad at me for crying. She's going to laugh at me, so... on January 20th, Maddie received her second dose of the Pfizer COVID vaccine. She was a participant in the Pfizer COVID vaccine trial at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. Before that, Maddie would be up here standing on her hands, doing cartwheels, straight A student, honors, had lots of friends, always busy. Before that day, I trusted the government and the medical community. I let all three of my children be in the COVID vaccine trial. I do not trust them at all anymore. I learned my lesson. I hope people out here, yeah. After receiving the second shot, Maddie, the one thing she said, her arm immediately hurt, and it was different than the first one. She was fine with the first one. And then over the next 24 hours, she had severe abdominal pain and chest pain. She actually said on the phone when my husband called me that it felt like her was being ripped out through her neck. She had painful electric shocks up and down her spine. She was walking hunched over. She had pain in her fingers and toes. And they were white, and if you touched them, they were like ice cold, and that still happens. So over the next 2.5 months, her abdominal muscle and nerve pain became unbearable. They wouldn't give her a wheelchair. They forced her to scoot around on her bottom at her house. We ended up getting a used wheelchair for her. She developed additional symptoms, gastroparesis, nausea, vomiting. She has erratic blood pressure and heart rate. Her cholesterol is high. She's on formula, 900 calories a day, and her blood sugar is high. She has memory loss, mixed up words. She had fainted. She had seizures, drastic changes in vision, her urinary retention. I could go on. So eventually in April, she needed an NG tube for nutrition. All these symptoms are here today. She's still in a wheelchair. All the doctors did was medicate her, which made her worse. Gabapentin, Lyrica. And they did this all while she was in the hospital, so I had no control. Thank you. So. So over the past 13 months, Maddie's been to ER 10 times. The last time was in December. She's been hospitalized 4 times for a total of 2 months. The last time was in December. We're running out of options. We have been abandoned financially and medically by the drug, by Pfizer and the medical community, the ones that our insurance pays for, not people like Dr. Ely and others. My daughter's case obviously was hidden from the very beginning. She's still being hidden and ignored and declining because of it. The FDA's never called us. Pfizer's never called us. Nobody's ever called us.
Shame on them. Shame on these people. We need to let them know. Shame on them. How dare they do this to our children and our families? Do not allow it to stand.
So because they lied during the trial, healthy kids, just like Maddie, are dying and suffering from similar injuries every day. It's not right, and it could have been avoided. I have too many new parents that have injured kids or kids that are dead. This needs to stop.
You're right, it needs to stop. So we're here to show you, we're a product of what has happened with no help, no nothing. Children are at a 0.003 risk of dying from COVID, and we cannot let more kids wind up like Maddie. We need to get Maddie help, and we cannot let anything like this happen to more people. Just in the last week, Steph was talking about our new friends. We've had a 10-year-old suffer a massive heart attack. We have a 10-year-old little girl who had a full hysterectomy, and I now support a little 6-year-old boy who's on life support from receiving one COVID vaccine because his mom was told it was safe and effective. I will never, never put this product in my child, and I will never give up fighting for my friends and for what is right. So I hope you will support us. We've given some flyers in the crowd. You can get out your phones right now and text the word REACT, REACT, to the number 50155 and make a donation. 100% of that money are going to injured people like us. Yeah, the number, text the word REACT, REACT, to the number 50155. Thanks, everybody.
Well, it's a beautiful day here in Oregon. I have to say, I don't think I've ever seen so many hippies for medical freedom since I was hanging with my mom and dad years ago. You know, I think about that a lot. I grew up in Boulder, Colorado, which I think is sort of like sister to Oregon. And my parents are just saying to some guy that was trying to cuss me there with a beard down here and hair down his back that said we were getting him killed in hospitals. And I said, hey, brother, you seem like a guy that used to believe in freedom. And he's like, well, I do, but, you know, this isn't freedom. I was like, what are you talking about? I said, is it the freedom to decide? You know, I said, my parents marched in Chicago in the 60s. My mother didn't vaccinate me because she was macrobiotic, and we were eating organic food and drinking fresh, clean water and fighting for freedom and the right to an education that we wanted and to end wars. And he's like, well, I mean, and he went running off. I don't understand it. I know you're all sitting here, you're living in the middle of it, and it's just got to be so shocking to think that the value system that Oregon used to stand for, which is a pure, clean, living life with exercise and vibrance, is now a pro-pharma industry-driven jail, prison. It's really, really hard to watch. It's hard when I visit Boulder, Colorado, the same thing. I mean, we're all scratching our heads. How is it? I mean, how is it that all of the, you know, yoga teachers and the people that are out like professionally riding their mountain bikes and rock climbing, all of those things which I still do, and now they're doing it with masks on? I mean, it's absolutely mind-blowing. You know, and to be honest, you know, when we travel around, Jimmy and I, who Jimmy grew up in Boulder, Colorado too, over there, Jimmy, couldn't do without him. He gets all the stuff off my plate I hate doing, like booking flights and hotels and things like that, but neither one of us was vaccinated. We grew up in Boulder, his mom's a hippie too. And I have to say, just an inside, because, you know, so often I don't get to sort of speak to really my people and where I come from. But just an inside sort of joke with us is we get to meet some of the most dynamic human beings in the world, whether it's just an evening hanging out with Bobby Kennedy and he's telling his own personal stories, or, you know, meeting other dynamic individuals like Peter McCullough, great politicians. And, you know, we'll sort of pinch ourselves and we'll always say, just a couple of hippies from Boulder, Colorado. Look what happened to our lives. And that really is how this goes. You know, so many of you walk up to me and say, you know, what is it I'm supposed to do? I don't know. I don't know what you're supposed to do. Only you know what you're being told to do. And I truly believe inside all of us, we are being guided. There is something so much bigger than us that is calling to us. All I did was start saying yes. I put aside my dreams and my goals that I thought of where I was going to get to, that I realized was clouding my vision. And I finally really started asking in my prayers, let me just be open to what I'm supposed to do instead of being held hostage by my 18-year-old image of who I was supposed to be. And the moment I made that transition, my life came alive. And I really want to say that so many people come up to me and they'll say, thank you for your sacrifice. And I really want to correct that. I think anyone in this world would be blessed to be living the life that I'm getting to experience right now. There's nothing that is a sacrifice to what I'm doing. And for those of you standing out here today, I know that I'm really preaching to the choir right now, but I just want to raise you up and thank you for not being afraid of all the languaging Antifa might be there, all of this stuff. Thank you for being heroes and not letting that darkness cloud your minds and your souls. And we really need to get out of that drama. We need to stop being the Kardashians of the world, needing drama in our lives, need to be talking about Antifa, afraid of being attacked, are the doctors really being killed by pharma that tell the truth? None of that is happening. It's not happening. We need to shut that story down because all it is doing is making us afraid. And fear is the disease. I'm not worried about my life. God decides how long I'm here. I only get to decide the quality with which I am going to walk on this planet. And for that, we really need to concentrate now. If you're watching the high wire, you know all the data, all the details. I'm giving it to you all the time. But for anyone out there, if there's a camera listening, there's eavesdropping on us today, welcome. Welcome to the party. The biggest I told you so party that's ever going to happen in the history of the United States of America and the world. Your vaccine is a complete and total failure. It is a disgrace of science. It is a disgrace against this nation. It cannot stop infection. It cannot stop transmission. It does nothing to achieve herd immunity. In fact, it has only blocked us from getting to herd immunity because it keeps the virus alive in people that cannot neutralize it because they took this stupid vaccine. And now we are seeing death rates mysteriously rising all over the world with no explanation. It started with one insurance company in Indiana saying we're seeing a 40% rise in deaths in 18 to 49 year olds, and it's not all COVID. Now, multiple insurance companies all stating the same thing, and yesterday we broke the story that in Germany, one of the biggest health insurers, life insurers in Germany, just came out and told the government, we decided to do an inquiry inside of our insurance company, looking at all the ICD codes of hospitalized people in our insurance system. It's about 10 or 11 million people. And they found that over 250,000 were being treated with ICD codes representing vaccine injury. They said that is 10 times any amount any government has ever admitted to. Do you realize what's happening? The wheels are coming off of their ship. This thing is all but over now because guess what? It's all about money in the end, and these greedy bastards are really worried about losing money. So what happens when all the other insurance companies in the world recognize what that insurance company just did and they said, you know what? I don't want to be paying out for injuries caused by a mandate put on us by the governor of Oregon or the leaders or President Biden. Why should we as an insurance company have to pay for something being caused by a government mandate? And so I'm saying this to the insurance companies. Sue the United States of America. You should get your money back. You shouldn't be paying for it. They lied to you as they lied to the world. Let's see what happens when all the insurers recognize that the healthiest among them are truly the unvaccinated. This is all happening. It's all changing. Do you realize this had to happen? How many of us were not vaccinated or not vaccinating our children, being quiet about it? Going around silently saying, as long as they don't bother me, I'm not gonna bother them. Well, we let that ship sail. We let this thing get too far down the road. And I will be honest with you. I mean, I've been working hard. I've been traveling all over this country, 150 flights almost every year since Vax came out in 2016. And there's other great speakers out there. Robert Kennedy Jr., of course, and Children's Health Defense that is sponsoring this today. Sherry Tenpenny and Dr. Paul Thomas, and I could go on, so I'm not even going to try. But I will tell you this, when I was standing in Washington, D.C. just a few weeks ago, and I marched from the monument down to the Lincoln Memorial, and I got up the stairs and I looked out, and I saw every single sidewalk like a river coming from the monument, pouring into those stairs, thousands and thousands, and it just didn't stop. For me, I realized we have finally closed the chapter of this book, which is, it's time to build a movement. We are here. We are a movement. It's really exciting. And none of that would have happened. Bobby Kennedy, me, everybody else, we could have been speaking on stages for the next 20 years, and we would never see the enrollment that we're seeing all around the world. 27 attorney generals sued the President of the United States, demanding
medical freedom, saying things like, in our state, our body, our choice. Whoever dreamed that was going to happen? I'm not surprised by it, because as I said, I have a very blessed life. I jumped off with Vax, and all I can say is it's been a miracle every single day. Things are happening that should never have happened. This movement is growing in ways that should have never happened. Getting kicked out of Tribeca Film Festival with my film was the greatest event that ever happened. I couldn't have planned that. That happened to just be the biggest PR agency in the world. Thank you. And COVID had to happen. This is a blessing. I feel bad. I pray my heart goes out for all those that are injured and that are dying because of the decisions that they made. But they also are a gift. We're all just cells of a body here. And we're trying to keep this body alive. And we need to recognize what's happening and who we are. And that is all a part of this process. So I want to get hard for a second. I want to talk about this insane mask laws that you have here in Oregon. I mean, the science is actually settled here. Masks do not work. I mean, John Ioannidis in the study out of is USC, I believe. What? Stanford, sorry, Stanford, you're right. Other part of California. 0.2%. That was the entire value of all of the lockdown measures. 0.2% is how much it restricted the spread of COVID. And yet I got to the airport yesterday and I walked in and I was like, oh, snap. You guys are still doing this thing. Which I know you guys don't, I mean, it's gotta be impossible. It's impossible for me to know what it's like to be here. In Texas, we haven't been wearing masks. Like, it's just not happening. We're walking around free. I said to the guy as I checked into the hotel here, you know, he said, where's your mask? I said, oh, you guys are still doing that here. He's like, yeah. I was like, you realize, like, you're the only ones left still doing that, right? But it's not a joke. And I really want to sort of bring some attention to all of us that are putting up with it, especially when it comes to your children. You cannot allow yourself to send your child to a school or anywhere where they're putting masks on their faces. There is no excuse for that. What could they possibly learn in that school that's more important than understanding their right to breathe the air? It is so critical right now that we lead. Our children are watching us. Our future is watching us. When we say we're afraid to go to a rally because of Antifa, we're afraid we might get arrested for standing for freedom in the United States of America, our children are listening to us. They need to lead us out of this. They are our future. So I have a couple thoughts coming from this hippie from Boulder, Colorado. You know, in Boulder, we grew up with ideals. My family were environmentalists. My mom would drag me out from as early as I can remember, like 5 years old, to march on Rocky Flats and try and shut down the nuclear waste plant that was happening there. And we went out and stood for clean rivers and fresh air. And it's amazing to think that all of these people, these leaders in Oregon that say they care about those things, are contaminating the rivers of their own bodies right now as we speak. But I really want to talk to the politics of this for a second. I'm still an environmentalist. I still want to be able to fish out of this river and eat the fish and not worry about mercury poisoning. I want to be able to breathe the air. I want to make sure that there are no toxic chemicals in our food.
I don't want any exhaust. If we can make cars that don't cause exhaust and don't create systems, I want that for our future. So for all the hypocrites in office here in Oregon and in Colorado and in California that talk about being environmentalists, I have a question for you. Why will our children ever fight for our environment if they never got to breathe the air? Why will they ever stand up for racial equality if they never get to see the color of each other's faces? How will they ever learn to love or to be loved if they never feel the warmth of another person's smile? And when will they ever stand for freedom if all they were taught by their teachers was how to comply? Our children are our future. And there is a disease that is threatening them. Every teacher out there saying you will not step into a school unless your kids are wearing masks because you are so afraid of dying. You're destroying their lives and they have a 0% risk of dying from this disease. You are the disease. Every one of you politicians that is masking our children, that is so afraid of losing control, you're acting like God. You will surely fall. You are the disease. So I have a request. Quarantine yourselves. Get out of our lives. Get out of our world and leave our children alone. Are the free people of the greatest republic in the world, the United States of America. We lead the world when it comes to freedom. We lead the world when it comes to race. We lead the world when it comes to environment. We cannot do that if all we do is bow down to follow. We are not followers. We are leaders. We are God's people. And we are being asked to rise up now to be the best of ourselves. This is our time. This is our challenge. And for this, we were born. Thank you.
So we live it as I rhyme it. You don't need to sell your soul to live your dreams. This comet is as real as it seems. You don't need to dig a hole to plant a seed. You can reinvent the wheel if you believe. You don't need to sell your soul to live your dreams. This comet is as real as it seems. You don't need to dig a hole to plant a seed. You can reinvent the wheel if you
believe. Dr. Paul here. DoctorsInScience.com is where you go to get access to my exclusive members-only section. This is how you, the viewers, support our work. We have no sponsors. We are fully supported by you, our viewers. What do you get in the members section? It's quite a list. You get access to a couple of my ebooks. The first one is the authoritative reference list for my Vaccine Friendly Plan book. I also have written a book, very extensive, called Everyday Health, that covers pretty much what I think you should be doing if you want to live a healthy life in this world today. But there is so much more. Join me monthly for a live Q&A. Submit your questions online. Make sure you get them answered. That is my intention for you. It's a time for us to interact. In addition to this, you get transcripts of every show. We have other bonus content. And I think one of the huge bonus content pieces is the PowerPoints of the talks I'm giving as I travel around the country. People are always asking me, how can we get those PowerPoints? This is how you do it. Head on over to doctorsinscience.com and become a member and join the team of Against the Wind. Help me spread the truth and share this on social media and with your friends at doctorsinscience.com. I look forward to running with you against the wind. go to our website, doctorsandscience.com, sign up, donate if you can, and let's make this the weekly show the nation's been waiting for. I'm Dr. Paul.